America. Exhale. America will prevail. It's a fact. We always do. We always will. We always have. We will prevail. Is this some defining moment in American history? Not necessarily. The Chauvin verdict, I felt grateful. I was worried. I didn't want anybody hurt. Not a police officer, not a citizen, not a friend, not a journalist, not a business owner. We're going to talk about that for the extent of this show today, about me and you, about America, about Chauvin, about racism, about cops, about families, about friendships, about change, and making a difference together. Build a career around it, whether you like that or not, whether you like me or not, it's a fact. In the middle of all this madness, there are real folks with real issues that I'm dealing with today. Folks who need roofs, plumbing, folks who can't get medical coverage, folks who are getting kicked out of their homes, folks who are dying from cancer, can't get treatment, lost dogs, found love, confusion, kindness beyond belief. I see it every day and manage it the best I can. It is actually fantastic timing that I have the pleasure to have Congressman Connor Lamb on regarding Get Marty, because he did something actually magnanimous for a woman who was, quite frankly, desperate. And we're going to get into that. But I'm just lucky to have him at this time this morning at the confluence of the Chauvin verdict and America in transition. Congressman, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Marty. Good morning to you.
A lot rushing through our heads these days, is it not, sir? Where were you when the verdict came down yesterday and your first feeling as a Mount Lebanon guy, as a military guy, Marine, former prosecutor, and a citizen? Your first feeling, sir?
My first feeling was that I was very proud. I was actually standing right outside the Capitol on the back plaza at the time. We were in between some votes. And, you know, for me, the special feeling of walking into the Capitol to cast a vote on behalf of people I represent, seeing the Capitol Dome, the history, all that, it has never gone away from the first day that I served there. And I'm someone that deep down, I just believe that our government is a good thing as it was conceived, and that the challenge of making it work every day is a very special task. And that is just as true for the prosecutors who put together this incredible, thorough case, convinced these jurors so thoroughly that they came back with a quick verdict. And I think the second feeling was, I just thought to myself, if you're in the Floyd family, as happy as you are to see that verdict, yesterday wasn't any easier probably than the day before, because they lost somebody that they loved. And, you know, so I try to keep that in mind as well. But definitely proud of the job that those folks did out there.
Congressman Connor Lamb, where do we go from here, sir? Do we need dramatic reform? And if so, what would you suggest if you had the authority to put certain reforms in place, sir?
You know, we need reforms, to be sure. I don't know that we have to characterize them as dramatic or not. They should be good, effective police reform so that we can get better law enforcement in our community, better for the police, better for the community. You know, it's often presented as like we need to put these special rules or burdens on the police or something like that. I don't think that's accurate. I think that what we're trying to do and what has worked historically is to give police additional resources and training, because what we're really doing is asking them to do their job in a different way now. You know, a lot of police were trained and brought up in kind of a militarized police culture. They were trained to use their gun in a certain way under certain rules. And as a society now, we are saying, look, this is too violent. It's not what we want from our police. We want community policing. We want police to understand the neighborhoods that they're walking around in. We want them to walk around, you know, not just be in their cars and behind computer screens. And that's hard. Policing is a very, very hard job. And a lot of these officers are not paid the way that you might think with all the professional demands that we're placing on them. So, you know, my thought is that from Washington, what we can really do is provide resources, you know, funding. I mean, to A, increase the pay so you could attract professional people, but B, really increase the training so that the complexity of the situation that these officers are in, they can really be prepared for on a day-to-day basis. And that's really what a lot of community members want as well when you talk to them. It's about accountability, but it's really about being prepared for the modern environment that these guys have to face every day.
I got to agree with you on every word, sir. And I just do, Connor. I think, because I know more cops than anyone you could ever know. And at the end of the day, they were trained to do one thing, and now they're asked to do another thing. A lot of them hate their job. I mean, Connor, hate their job. A lot of them would quit today if they could. And the young African-Americans that I know have no damn interest in being a cop. So until we reframe the process, hey, you're good people. We just need to kind of make a couple of changes here so that you're safer, so that the public is safer, so that we all trust each other. This is not the career path that I would select for my son. There is absolutely no way in hell. And I wouldn't have said that years ago. It's a very, very difficult time to be a cop or to be a citizen facing law enforcement in any way, shape, or form, because no one knows what's going to happen next. That's tough, is it not, sir?
It's very hard. And, you know, they have camera phones in their face every day, you know, body cameras, which are good measures of accountability, and I think often actually good in many cases to prove when police do things right. But there's no question that the perception among a lot of the people I represent is that there's not enough accountability and that these things happen and, you know, police walk free or they get rehired by another department, like what happened in the Antoine Rose case. You know, and so I think in this political environment, trying to enact reforms that both impose accountability but also back that up with the resources necessary to do this new mission. It's difficult to get that kind of balanced message through, but that's what we're really working on. And that's why, I mean, there's a congresswoman down here who's identified as being very much on the pro-reform sort of community side of this. And she's working and talking to Republican senators almost every day about how we can get this through. So they really are trying for a balanced bipartisan approach, which I think is what the moment really calls for.
Well, the rhetoric is so dangerous. And using you as an example, I know your past, I know your family history, I know your commitment to law enforcement, your background as a prosecutor, your background as a Marine. Yet someone took a picture of you at a rally where someone was holding a sign that said defund the police. Suddenly you became the enemy. Honestly, you became the guy that wanted to destroy the police. So in this world of social media and that sort of rhetoric, it ain't easy doing anything, is it, sir?
No, it's not. But I think, you know, what I've seen in 3 years of doing this job is that, you know, the other side's always going to land some punches. But it's like a 12 round heavyweight bout. You just got to stick with the truth. Keep telling people what you believe, what you stand for. You know, in that case, yeah, that picture came out. It was not good. And I explained to people, look, right. I go to a lot of events where someone grabs me for a photo and I have no, it lasts 2 seconds and I turn the other direction. That's what happened there. And there were probably people who didn't buy that from me, but most people did because they know my background and my voting record and all that kind of stuff. So I think you just have to be patient and people really do, for the most part, listen in the end.
Connor Lamb, your office did something and you did something magnificent, quite frankly, for a woman who was declared dead, as you know, by the federal government, did not get a tax return for 2 years and is hurting for certain. And quite frankly, no one would answer the phone for her at any agency or entity. Everything shut down. And your folks stepped in. She was actually literally declared dead, folks. And Connor Lamb and his people stepped in. I gotta be grateful to you, sir. You pulled off a miracle. It changed her life. She is now getting more than $20,000 back from the government after being declared dead. And by the way, this does happen. And it's not that easy getting things like this corrected today. And I want to thank you for stepping up, sir. It was a fantastic thing you did.
Well, I talked to her yesterday, and Mary is very much alive. I can affirm that. And she actually still hasn't gotten the tax refund from 2019 or the stimulus payments yet. And so, you know, I told her yesterday, we're just going to keep harping on them every day, calls, emails, whatever it takes until this goes through. And yeah, the biggest, what I thought was really interesting, and first of all, Marty, she was also very grateful for the role that you played in all this and helping call attention to it. So that was really good. And, you know, she was talking about the way that when she would talk to someone from Social Security or the IRS, you know, they would act like this is something that just happens. Like, oh yeah, you're another one of those people that was declared dead. And this is a major, major problem for her. Like in the middle of the pandemic, her hot water heater blew. And if she would have had the money from last year's tax return, she could have paid for it in cash. But instead, she put it on her credit card because she had to wait to get this money. She couldn't wait to replace the hot water heater, right? And so it was that like indifference from some people in our government that really made her upset. And I just, for anyone listening today, that's what your legislators are there for, whether it's me at the federal level or whoever represents you at the state level. You know, our job is really to go in and try to ring the bell with these folks and get them to treat you right and do the right thing. And I'm glad in this case that it seems like we're going to be able to get this resolved for Mary pretty quickly.
Get Connor. Get Marty. We teamed up. Thank you, sir. You're my man.
Good talking to you.
All right. See you later. Love it.